Amen. Let's turn again. We'll kind of finish up this being a kind of a three-part study. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Again, this started out with, in Numbers, we're talking about Israel in the wilderness when they began to complain against Moses and against God. They were discouraged in the way. They were discouraged. And they began to complain because, you know, God, why did God brought them out there in the wilderness for them to die in the wilderness and perish? And they were complaining about the leadership, the spiritual leadership in their lives. And seeing as how it was God that was leading and speaking through to them through Moses, even as he supplied them with daily bread, manna, very, very clear that God was with them, yet they found room to complain and murmur. So their serpents came upon them and bit them, and some of them are dying. And as we talked about, there's no, Moses didn't say, these serpents are here because you're complaining and murmuring. They came and confessed to Moses, said, we have sinned. We have sinned against you. We've sinned against God, and we've complained. And these serpents are coming. That's why these serpents are coming upon us. That was spiritual discernment. And I guess we can only surmise that it was, you know, the Holy Spirit revealing that to them. That it was because of their murmuring. They felt guilty about that murmuring. They felt guilty about complaining and even their discouragement. Sometimes we need to repent of discouragement because of all people, we should be encouraged. Even Jesus said, you know, be strong and of a good courage, for I have overcome the world. So anyway, they discerned the serpents. They asked Moses to pray. That's what we're talking about, is praying. And here Moses offered up this prayer. It doesn't give us the content of his prayer. But the Lord's response to him was to make this serpent out of a brazen serpent, a serpent out of brass, and put it on a pole, that whosoever looks on it should not die. And that's what brought us to the Gospel of John. In the 14th verse, where Jesus is explaining himself to Nicodemus and uses this example in verse 14, that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And last week we talked from that point on toward the end of the chapter, again, that people might live. God sent his Son to the world that they would not perish but have everlasting life. That whosoever believes has life, and whosoever believes not is already dead. They're already condemned because they are serpents represent the judgment or chastening of God for sin. And until they look to Jesus, once Jesus is nailed to the cross, once he is offers his life as atonement for sin, sin has the upper hand, death has the upper hand. But he came to destroy sin and death. And again, the interesting thing is, God did not answer Israel's prayer. They said, pray that the Lord, Moses asked Moses to pray that these serpents be, we'd be delivered, they'd be taken away from us. But they were still getting bitten. But if they looked to the serpent raised on the pole, they would not die. But they're still getting bit. That judgment, that chastisement from the Lord was still in the midst of them, even as was their sin. And so we're going to start at the first of chapter 3 tonight. But even so, sin is still with us. Even though Jesus has been raised, put up on the cross, and died, and bore our judgment for sin, sin is still in the world. People are still getting bit and dying. As we talked about, you know, that if they looked to the brazen serpent in the pole, they would not die. Perhaps there are some, even as with Jesus, that will not look up or did not look up to the brazen serpent. They didn't want to believe that, and they died. We don't know. We don't know. You wouldn't think, again, logically, you wouldn't think that people would pass up the gift of life over death just out of pride, would you? But how much more in our world today and the world since that time will people refuse to look up to Christ on the cross? How can they continue to refuse and reject the solution to death in their lives? People are still getting bitten. But as they look to Jesus, they will never die. They have everlasting life. The judgment of God is still at work in the world. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of the judgment to come. Yet people will not believe. Some will just not look to Jesus as they do not want Jesus to be the answer to their problems. Yet all who do believe go on, and they bring their works. Their works of light, and I won't go into that really much. But whosoever does the truth comes to the light. They testify of the redemption, the redemptive power, the transformational power of the cross. And they bring those works, they bring that truth, they come to the light, they want God to rescue them. They want to testify and speak of the works of God and how God has redeemed them. But those who love darkness will not come to the light. So I'd never really given much thought to maybe some in Israel did not look up to the serpent. Even as how much more again, the world today, and since the time of the Savior coming, the Savior of the world coming into the world, being offered up, giving himself an atoning sacrifice, yet people still will not look to God, look to Christ to save their lives. And from that, we can now go back to the Gospel of John, and starting with the first verse. And I'm not going to read all of it necessarily, but just to introduce it, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, a leader, a teacher. But he was a man of the Pharisees. And as we know throughout the New Testament, the Pharisees resisted the testimony and the word of God in Christ from the time he began his ministry throughout the rest of the Old Testament, or the New Testament. The Pharisees continued and still would not look to the serpent that was raised up. They would not look to Jesus. They did not want Jesus to be the answer. And this is so prevalent in the world around us. Of the people in... I was responding to someone, I think it was last night, that a fool says in his heart there is no God. Psalm 53, verse 1. There's another spot. I can't remember where it's at in Psalms. And, I said, it's easy to deny that Christ is the Savior of the world. All you have to do is deny it. No, I don't believe that. I don't have to believe that. I don't believe it's, until I see it, until I, see something or whatever, I don't have to be it. I can deny it in spite of what you say. And I said, it's easy to deny it. Fools do it all the time. I said, I used to be a fool. I was a fool because I denied, I did not believe that there was a God. If I did, I did not understand it, and I didn't give much thought. But I was a fool. I confessed. I was a fool until I came to know Christ as my Savior. And so I know how easy it is to deny, how easy it is to make up excuses. And we have a lot of people, self-determined, kind of like the Pharisees. They would not listen, even though they taught about Jesus. They taught about the Messiah. They taught the Old Testament prophets. They taught those things, but they did not understand them. So Nicodemus, a man of the Pharisees, a ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night when he wouldn't be seen and called Jesus rabbi, teacher. He said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. So why didn't they listen? Why wouldn't they be taught? He said, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. They understood that they could hear in his words the words of God, the wisdom of God. They couldn't say anything against it. And you can't do the things you're doing except God be with him. They acknowledged the miracles that he did, the things that are unexplainable and beyond the capability of natural man. They saw those and said, this has to be from God. So Jesus, but again, Nicodemus never really asked a question. He made a statement. But Jesus, in verse 3, answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see, perceive, understand the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, though a teacher among the Pharisees, really gave a really pretty dumb response. I mean, really. It couldn't have been a more natural, foolish response that he had. He did not comprehend. He could not comprehend. He cannot see the kingdom of God, because he's not been born of the Spirit. I know I read through this last week, but I want to kind of flesh this out for the end of our study. But Jesus said to him, he said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Again, this is something that Nicodemus, they had never taught that. They didn't understand this. They couldn't understand that looking up to Christ, that lifted up on the cross, and believing in Christ as their Savior, as the Savior of the world, that a person gains a whole new perspective and understanding of Scripture and of life and of purpose, and they will not die. And it is a new birth. A spiritual birth, because that which is born of the flesh is flesh in verse 6. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So Jesus, so many times, provides answers to questions that aren't asked, even as Israel is provided with an answer to a prayer that was not answered. They said, pray that the Lord remove these serpents from us. The Lord didn't do that. There was something more at play here. There was something more important at play here. God provided deliverance. God provided deliverance. But the serpents were still there. The serpents were still biting. But there was a deliverance from death. sin is still in the world. Christ has been, the Savior has come. That's what's confounding and confusing for the world around us, the world that we live in. If God wants to save the world, why doesn't he do it? Why doesn't he just do it? Why is he playing these mind games with everybody? Why does he just appear and save the world, wipe out disease and sickness and all those sorts of things, and fix everything, and then everybody will believe and live happily ever after? Well, the thing is, the Lord tried that once. He tried it twice. And that doesn't solve the problem. The serpents are still among us. The prayer that people would pray today, the prayer that is brought up again and again, let God take away the judgment, the chastening of the serpents, the chastening for sin and complaining against God. Let him take away the judgment for that. That judgment will be taken away. Jesus has been raised up. Death is no longer an issue. It's unbelief in the face of the answer. Jesus is the answer. In verse 8, Jesus said, verse 7, he says, marvel not that I say unto you, you have to be born again. You have to be born so you can see the kingdom of God. That's the way he said it in verse 3. You cannot see, you cannot perceive, you cannot recognize the things of the kingdom of God. The people who do, the people who are born again, are like the wind. They're moving and their spiritual things happen. They're like Jesus. We're like Jesus. We teach things that people can marvel at. We can do things, and God, as he works in our lives, does things in our lives that nobody can do but God. So there's these spiritual things happening around people in the world, but they can't see it, and they want to control it. They want to have a formula. They want to have it on demand, like just go to a vending machine or get on the internet and order a miracle and have it delivered to your door the next day. That's not how God works. The serpents are still there. But we look to the cross. We look to Jesus. The world says, why doesn't God take away the serpents? God says, why don't you look to my son? Why don't you look to the answer that I've provided, even though you didn't ask that question? So Jesus is really in teaching Nicodemus, teaching him and revealing the answer to the question that Nicodemus has not yet really asked. It's not really recorded here that he asked. Jesus said, the things of the Spirit are moving around you all the time. And those that are born of the Spirit see them, they know them, they understand them. But Nicodemus, you're frustrated. You and the Pharisees are frustrated and angry that you can't control it, that you can't do the same thing. Because, again, they will not look up and look to Jesus, who was raised up above the earth. Verse 9, Nicodemus plainly does not understand. How can these things be? How can these things that you're saying be true? The Scripture does not teach us these. The Old Testament does not teach us these things. How can these things be? Jesus said, are you a master, a teacher of Israel, the people of God, and you don't know these things? How can you teach? Again, think of Jesus saying how the Jews were the blind leading the blind, and they all together go into the ditch. How can you be a teacher and not know these things? says the things that we speak of, referring to the disciples and to what things he teaches, the things that we have seen, and you won't receive our witness. That was kind of the discussion that I was having, is that, you know, you can't believe, you know, if I didn't see it, then I don't have to believe it. I wasn't an eyewitness, and I don't have to believe someone that says we were an eyewitness, because that's unreliable, and just because they think they saw, that doesn't mean that's really what happened. So there's this rejection of eyewitness accounts, even though our history, through world history, and most of the history of the world is eyewitness accounts that people have written down and documented, that people have shared with others. Do we believe it or do we not? Jesus said, you won't receive our witness, our testimony. I said, if I told you earthly things and you believe not, how should you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? So in other words, Nicodemus' real question was, explain yourself? You never really put it into words, but Jesus was answering the questions on his heart. He says, how can we know that you are of God? Nobody can do these things, but we don't understand who you are. We don't understand what it is that is going on here. You don't look like God, but you're doing the works of God. You teach things that come from God, but you don't look like God. How can you know these things? You weren't taught like we were. The Pharisees had this thing where they really felt that they were smarter than the other people because they had been educated. And Jesus, to wind this portion down quickly here, Jesus simply said to him, no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. He said, nobody went up to heaven, learned these things, and brought them back down to earth to teach others. The wisdom of God must descend from God to earth so that man might know, that man might see. Nicodemus had already confessed that they believed these miracles, the things that Jesus did, were of God. They confessed that he was a teacher come from God, as verse 2 says. A teacher come from God. Nicodemus was not even hearing his own words. He said, we know that you are a teacher come from God. Yet they refused his teachings. The works they did were from God, but they would not receive the witness of those things that they saw take place with their own eyes and heard others talk about. The serpents are still among us. The serpents were still among Israel. And they were refusing to look up at the serpent raised up on a pole that they might live. Let's turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 7. Gospel of John, chapter 7. It's a long chapter. Time-wise, let's go ahead and read verses 37 through 39. In the last day of the feast of Tabernacles, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Pretty plain, isn't it? Instructions were pretty easy to understand. "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." As Jesus told the Samaritan woman at the well, "The water that I give you to drink, if you drink of it, you will never thirst again. If you look up at the serpent on the pole, you will not die. If you believe in Christ as your Savior, you will not die. You will be born of the Spirit, and you'll understand the things of God." But they come to Jesus, you know, if you thirst, come to me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should ye receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So this is prophetic, but you can't get to the answer of the prophecy until you believe on Jesus. And that's believing on him and the work that he did and being raised up from off the earth and being offering up his own life that we might live. The answer that God provided, if you come and drink and feast your eyes and you're satisfied, quench your spiritual hunger and thirst on the answer that God provided, they would be given the Holy Spirit that they would see and understand. So verse 40, "Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet." The prophet. Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee?" We only accept Christ from Jerusalem, not from Galilee. "Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was?" See, they were parsing words, they were parsing scriptures, but not believing what they were seeing. They were not believing what they were hearing. They were not receiving what was touching their hearts when they knew. You know, Nicodemus wasn't necessarily confessing for every single one of them, but he was confessing for a lot of them when he said, "We know that you are a prophet, a teacher, come from God." So there was a division, verse 43, just exactly what the devil wants. There was a division among them, the people, because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. They wouldn't take him and kill him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, "Why have you not brought him? Why haven't you brought him here, the officer? Why haven't you... why was you arrested him and brought him here? And so we can deal with this." And the officers answered, "Never man spake like this man." Another testimony, another witness. The Pharisees, the priest said, why haven't you arrested him? Listen to what he's saying. Look what he's doing. Why haven't you brought him here so that we can deal with him? They're pretty brave, weren't they? They said, "We've never heard words like this. And it's touched our hearts." These are the kind of words that we would expect from you Pharisees, from you leaders. Well, the Pharisees, verse 47, said, "Are you also deceived?" And we're getting to the good part. "Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him?" Us, you know, us leaders, have any of us believed on him? Yes, but they wouldn't admit it. They had seen it, but they would not confess to it. Nicodemus is proof of that. Nicodemus was convinced that this work of God was going on around them, but they couldn't come out publicly before the people because they could not explain it. They could not control it. They did not want Jesus to be that brazen serpent on the pole. They did not want Jesus to be the Savior of the world. We're talking about the Savior of the world. Anyway, let me keep moving here for time's sake. So it says, if any of the Pharisees, or rulers or the Pharisees believed on him? The answer is yes, but they were implying no. But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. These that have not been schooled and understand the law, they're cursed. We have the answer. We're smarter than them. And they're cursed because they don't know all the answers like we do. Well, then Nicodemus saith unto them, that is the Pharisees, the rulers. And Nicodemus, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, says, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? Nicodemus said, I've talked to him. I think he's worth listening to. I think this very well could be, he could be, it is from God and could be the answer that we are looking for. It's really truly could be the answer to the prayer, if you would. He could be, this really could be the brazen serpent to deliver us from the power of sin. So does the law judge any man before it hears him or knows what he's doing? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing there, but, oh, you're a Galilean. That's where all the Saviors come from. There's a Savior factory up there. Search and look if you're so smart, Nicodemus. For out of Galilee riseth no prophet. And every man went his own way. The devil, but especially the religious leaders, shut it down in controversy and conflict and division. While people continued to die, but some believed and more believed. And they were losing control. And there was Nicodemus in the middle. His questions that he hadn't asked had been answered. And I think this was a turning point for him right here. I really do. They just cast him, again, they did not answer his question. Even as God did not answer the prayers of the people of Israel, or the way they wanted it, they didn't. If they really wanted to know, why did they bring Jesus? They said, can you explain this? We believe, the words you're saying, we know that you're a teacher come from God. We know that the works you're doing have to be the works of God. But we're tripped up on this one part here. It says, you're from Galilee, and that's not what the scripture said. Can you explain that to us? Seems like kind of a simple question that they could have asked. But they did not. Because of their pride. Because they did not want Jesus to be the answer. They did not want it to happen this way. And we live in a world today. There are people still getting bit by the judgment of God, the serpents, for their rebellion and their rejection of God, their frustration and discouragement, and the way God, complaining about the way the world's going. Why doesn't God do something about it? But here's the answer that people are talking about all the time. And this is why it's important for us to simply and plainly state that Jesus is my Savior. That this person I was talking with, I said, if God wants me to witness something firsthand that I might believe, he needs to show me something firsthand. And I responded to him and said, well, I just talked to Jesus, and he said he loves you very, very much, more than you can know. He'd like to have a talk with you. That's pretty firsthand. The person couldn't respond. Jesus talks to us, doesn't he? The Spirit of God brings us the words and the heart and the mind of Christ. The answer is in these earthen vessels to the questions that the world doesn't know how to ask, to explain the answers that they don't expect. We are the key through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are the key to bringing light into this world. We are the children of light. And this gospel message is a matter of educating those who do not want to be educated and continuing to manifest the testimony of God in a world of darkness that does not want to see. Yet God leaves us here. He continues his work. And we have this day to be a witness to Christ, and Lord willing, we'll have tomorrow. And it's that serpent on a pole. It's Christ on the cross. It's the Spirit of God working in us and through us that the world needs to hear from us. One by one, the world needs to hear from us. With that, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, dear God, for the life that we experience at your hand, for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and our souls. We pray, dear God, that we might be, that we might let our light shine, that if we know that we are filled with the Spirit and we know that we are led of the Spirit, that we just go with it, that we follow the Spirit's leading. We do what the Spirit has us to do. We'd cut the cords on the common sense approach of this world and simply speak the truth and witness to the truth and testify of the truth. Even though it may not make sense in the world, at this time, one day it will be perfectly clear. Father, may we stand with you, may we walk with you as you work in our lives. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.